So you can see that there are two seeds. There's the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And you will see the word enmity. The word enmity means war. There is hatred, even that disdain that we saw on Goliath's face. And in this world, wherever you go, there is this rebellious attitude, this hostility to the things of Christ. Have you discovered it? Have you felt it? Have you run into it? Then you are born into this battle. The battle is set. And of course, Satan's agents are always set to defy. Welcome on this the new year to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We give God the thanks for the year that has gone by, and we look forward to the year that is now come, that we may serve the Lord with all our hearts, souls, and minds, that He will be glorified in our service for Him, and that we may be of profit to each and every hearer as we let the Bible speak another year. We're thankful today that we have a message on the battle is the Lord's. And of course, that's the story of David out before Goliath and how he who defied the armies of the God of Israel, David took him down. And he came in the name of the Lord and he said, the battle is the Lord's. And we need to remember that too on this very first day of the new year because, yes, we're fighting in the Lord's battle. We're not on our own. We are seeking to lift up the name of Jesus in a world of need. And I pray that your own heart will be challenged today as we turn to the pulpit of our own church here in Cloverdale to let the Bible speak on the battle is the Lord's. This is the story of David going out against the giant Goliath with no armor, no sword in his hand. We're going to see tonight that the real principle here is that God did not use the carnal weapons. There was no sword in David's hand. We see the Philistines' contempt of David approaching him without a sword. In verse 42, we read here that the Philistine looked about and saw David. He disdained him. I wish I could describe the drama within that word. Can you see the face of mockery on Goliath? The contempt, the composure of the giant, 10 feet tall, looking down at this little boy, and he is just incredulous. He is bawled over in a contemptuous manner. What? You've sent a boy and without a sword or armor? He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Staves, wooden implements, a rod. Nothing that would be of really warlike power and ability. But then we turn onto another stage and we see David's attitude. And here in verse 44 onward, the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. And on down to verse 47, which is really our text and our thrust tonight, where David said, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. What a difference in attitude that made. Now, Keel in the Leech, the Hebrew scholars commentated that this little statement that the battle is the Lord's could also be understood as the Lord is the Lord of war. He is the Lord of battle, and he fights. And we learn here that God is not neutral. God is not a pacifist. He is not standing on the sidelines watching the affairs of this world, and he is not letting his church slip while the enemy advances. So we see the mighty power of God. And of course, verse 46, it says right at the end of the verse that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that is equal to say that Israel can't be beaten. Israel cannot be defeated, for God is on their side, and he is a God of war. What an amazing concept. We usually think of God as a God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy, righteousness, but that he is also a God of war. The battle is the Lord's, and the Lord will fight for his cause and for his people. Now, this is not the first time you find this in the Bible. If you go back to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3, you will find that after the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and they were singing their song of deliverance, that in verse 3 it was said, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." And so God is not neutral. God will fight. God will fight for truth. He will fight for that which is right, and he will never sell it out. God will fight for his own name, because he is a jealous God who is filled with zeal for his own glory. God will fight for righteousness, and he will burst open eternity rather than let righteousness fall in the streets. God is at war with the devil, with sin, and with all ungodliness, and with all who oppose him. Who will win such a battle against the Lord? Well, there's only one conclusion. And of course, we read the book of Revelation, and there we get the big picture. And we see every enemy that rises up against God, they are put down. They end in perdition and utter darkness. And of course, on that great day, God will come from his new Jerusalem and establish a whole new world based on righteousness. And so this is the truth that bolstered David in his fight against this giant, this monster of a man, 10 feet tall, a huge warrior-like figure with the roar of a beast. And yet David said, "The battle is the Lord's." I want to deal with this event tonight to stir our own hearts that we might recognize that our service for God is not in vain. And the three things I'd like to major on tonight is, firstly, the battle is set. There's no backing down. Secondly, the battle is sure, because the battle is the Lord's. And lastly, the battle is simple. We don't need mighty weapons. We only need to trust in the means that God has given to us. So firstly, the battle is set. Now, each day that the giant appeared on the front lines and challenged Israel to fight and send me a man that I may fight, every day Israel trembled, but they couldn't back away. Of course, Israel had not chosen the war, and David had not chosen the war. He was sent by his father David to send some provisions for his brother, see how they were doing, and bring back a report. But when he entered into the ranks of the army, he discovered that there was this deadlock, this lack of progress. And there wasn't a man that was willing to go out and stand against this Goliath. And so David could only suggest, I will fight this Philistine. And David was ready to go into this battle. The battle was set. And likewise for us tonight, we did not choose this fight. We did not choose this war. But rather, we have been born into a world where sin is rampant, where the fallen nature of man is opposing God, and the very powers of hell are unleashed against the things of Christ. We have been converted and saved, born again of the Spirit, and when you are saved as a Christian, you are called to do battle for God. And in that sense, we did not choose the battle. Because in this world, Satan's seed is at work. Now let me back up a little bit and take you to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And we learn here of the two seeds that are at work in this world. Do not think that as a Christian and in the Western world, which is civilized and somewhat educated, that we're going to have a nice, easy bed of roses in which to live as a Christian. We're told here in Ephesians and Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So you can see that there are two seeds. There's the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And you will see the word enmity. The word enmity means war. There is hatred, even that disdain that we saw on Goliath's face. And in this world, wherever you go, there is this rebellious attitude, this hostility to the things of Christ. Have you discovered it? Have you felt it? Have you run into it? Then you are born into this battle. The battle is set. And of course, Satan's agents are always set to defy. Now you'll see in verse 45, I'm going to go back now to 1 Samuel 17 and to verse 45, and you'll see here the words of David. Look at the end of the verse 45. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. That's the issue. That's the cause. That's the battle. And it's not just about personalities. It's about the honor, the glory of the Lord whom these Philistines are openly rebelling against. Now, in this world, we are facing those who defy and deny God. There are those atheists. They are outright deniers of the Lord. And we are called to stand in this battle against them. There is also the apathy of this world, and that is the battle deniers. The battle deniers say, there's no fight. Why do you need to fight? What is this battle that you talk about? We can just love one another and have an ecumenical spirit of being appeasers. That's the religion that I want. Well, it's not the religion of the Bible. It's not the gospel of the New Testament, where God is at war with the powers of darkness, and the devil will never surrender until he is cast out. In this world, we also deal with those that follow evolution, and they are the creation deniers. And when a man creates the creation, they deny God. They rule God out of this world, and you have a worldly character who denies God's direct creation. creation, and they make a god out of science. They fall then into the idolatry of human learning, human discovery, and they deny that God is in it. Then there is the LGBT, the immoral agenda, the morality deniers. And they deny that there is right and wrong. They deny that there is a way to live that honors God versus a way that dishonors God. And they say we have the right to live the way we like, the way we please, and we live according to the flesh, and who can deny it? And of course, they become God-haters because they hate the pronouncement of God's judgment upon their sin. And the battle is on, and it is heating up. And as we face the future, no doubt there will be many battles on that front. Then there are the academics. These are the secular social engineers who want to change the way that people act and think. And let's not be deceived or ignorant that behind every new social movement, there is an intellectual agenda. The academia of our country are fast at work, and they are those that are pulling the levers for the leaders of this country, for the political agenda, and they have been working behind the scenes for months and years to bring the political forces at work to the place where they have the freedom to live according to their own agenda. And so tonight, as Christians, the battle is set, and we are engaged in this warfare of living the Christian life, and it will involve spiritual battle. Years ago, the hymn was penned, "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood in this vile world, a friend to grace to help me on to God? Since I must fight, I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain supported by thy word." Now, that's not written by a free Presbyterian. It's not written by some modern fundamentalist. This is written many years ago. The Church of Christ has been facing this battle for generations. And yes, the battle might be coming more pointed, more focused, more difficult, but we've got to recognize the battle is set. And we need to set ourselves that we must engage in this warfare against the enemies of the Lord. Now, secondly, the battle is sure. Because the battle is the Lord's, and because God is a God of war who is sure to fight for the right and for truth and for his own glory, the battle is sure, meaning that the victory is sure. Who ever conquered fighting against God? No man has fought God and prospered, not even one. Not angels. Those who rose up in pride in heaven, they were cast out. When the devil on the earth destroyed the Garden of Eden, breaking the covenant or causing Adam to break that covenant and bringing sin into the world, he was cast out of the garden, as was Adam and Eve. And of course, Satan now is a defeated foe because of Calvary. And when creature rises up against Creator, there is no question about the outcome. God will win the battle. Not angels, not pre-diluvians, and that's the people who lived during Noah's day before the flood. What a wicked world it was. The vileness, the violence, the ungodliness. But God won the battle. He destroyed the wicked with that worldwide flood. Not Sodom. Sodom that defied the law of God, lived for the flesh, came under the direct judgment of God. Not Egypt. God actively fought for Israel. And that's the point I want to make at this point of the message. God didn't just release general power and allow the clouds to carry some magnetic forces. God intervened in specific ways to fight for Israel. Let's go back in our Bibles here to Exodus 14. Exodus 14 and verse 13. Now here you have the children of Israel on the very edge of the Red Sea. And it seems that they're locked in, mountains on one side, sea to another, Pharaoh and his armies coming in the other directions. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Now we know the story, we know the event, but I want to read on right down to verse 18. Just catch the whole tenor of the statement here. Moses speaking, verse 14. "The Lord shall fight for you." It's God entered into the battle. "And ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry the ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh." And of course, the history is that the Egyptians perished where the Israelites went across on dry ground. God, through the rod of Moses, intervened to fight for Israel. And this is what we see right through the Bible. God intervening to fight for his people.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. All the shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within.
Thank you for staying with us here on Let the Bible Speak as we bring the message on David bringing down Goliath. What an amazing thing, and I hope that you are in agreement here with this fact that God is a God of war. Do you really think that God is a God of battle and war? Well, he's certainly at war with sin, We have learned that here. And if you are not a Christian, if you are yet without salvation and you are guilty before God, He is at war with you and one day will judge you. And so you need to be saved. You need to become cleansed in the blood of Jesus, saved from sin, that you might have that peace with God. And peace is possible, even to those that have set themselves as defiant rebels against God. Peace is possible through the blood of the cross. We also know that God is at war with the devil. He already has cast him out of heaven, cast him down into perdition. And one day he shall cast him into the lake of fire, where there is no return. And so the devil is defeated. There at the cross, Jesus, as our mighty victor, defeated the devil. And of course, the Lord is going to defeat all who defy him. We don't even need to ask the question, who shall win this war? And so every Christian, every believer in the Lord Jesus is on the winning side. And while we may be in the minority here in this earth, we are in the majority with God, because we shall indeed win the war. Now, we made mention here in the message that the battle is set. It is something that God has set himself to do. He will never rest while sin advances. He will never rest while sin is not judged. And he will put down all wickedness. Then also we mentioned that the battle is simple. We are to take those weapons that the Lord has given us, and our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. The weapon of the Bible, the weapon of prayer, the weapon of living for Christ in this world with a clear testimony that Jesus is Lord of our lives. And as we engage in this battle, the Lord will give us the victory. And I trust that in this new year that you will put on the whole armor of God and that you will stand for him. And as in the announcements coming up, I'll be inviting you to write, phone, call, or be in touch with us here. And if I can be of any personal help, make sure you get in touch. Thank you for being a part of our program today. Join us again tomorrow, as we let the Bible speak. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio, when once more we let the Bible speak.